With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway, plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful, some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't sex. Change even if I try, even if I wanted to. And I can't change even if I try, even if I wanted to. My love, she keeps me warm. She keeps me warm. She keeps me warm.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Hollywood Soup. This is Dizzy D, and thank you for tuning in to Penguin Radio to hear all about entertainment news, celebrity gossip, new movie releases, and popular music. I have a lot of things in store for you today, including my segments called Movie Monday, True or False, Toons Talk, and The Dirty Deets. So, throughout the show today, I will be covering who is getting sued, a lot about love, and who has fake teeth. So I hope you're ready, because this is the start of an exciting show, and I will now jump into my first segment, Movie Monday. So, on Saturday, I went to the Mill Valley Film Festival because I'm actually writing an article for my journalism class about it, and I wanted to go see the movie Stockholm, which is played at the Lark Theater, and it was the first time I've ever seen a movie there, which was really cool because it was such a nice theater. So, Stockholm was directed by Rodrigo Sorogoyen, and it was pretty cool at the beginning of the film before it started. He talked a little bit about what his movie was about and just a little thing, you know, it's an unusual movie, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, he did a Q&A after the film, which was interesting because English isn't his first language and he had a translator, but it was funny because I thought he had better English than his translator did. I could understand him better. But anyways, getting off topic, but Rodrigo Sorogoyen said before the film started that it's an unusual film, which it completely is. And this week I wanted to do something different because this film isn't in theaters. It was at the Mill Valley Film Festival and it ended yesterday. And I think I'm going to talk about the entire film, which I don't usually do because I don't like to spoil the film for people who want to go out and see it. But I don't know if anyone would get the opportunity to go see it because it is an international film and the world premiere was at the Mill Valley Film Festival. So, I mean, I can start to tell you when I'm going to spoil it for you and then you can turn it off or whatever. But I'm going to go through the end and tell you and spoil it for you. So I'll tell you when I'm going to spoil it. But now let me start by synopsizing the film. So Stockholm is filmed in Madrid, Spain. So it was all in Spanish. And I definitely had to follow along with the subtitles because I've only taken 3.5 years of Spanish in high school and I do not know how to speak fluent Spanish. So I had to follow along with the subtitles. And in the beginning of the movie, there is a party and this guy sees this girl and he goes up to her and tries to talk to her and she's just not having it. She doesn't want anything to do with him. And then the party ends and she's with her friends all outside and then the guy's there too. And by the way, when I'm talking about this guy in the scroll, they don't really reveal their names. They reveal the guy's name at one point, but throughout the film, the director refers to them as El and Ella, he and she. So I won't be saying names, so I hope you're not confused by that. So wanted to clarify that. But they go outside and all of her friends are figuring out what they want to do, if they want to go get more drinks, like if they want to go to a bar, go out. And her friends are asking her, what do you want to do? And she's just like, I don't want to go home. And her friends are trying to get her to come out with them, and she just doesn't want to. So she ends up walking home by herself, and the guy starts to follow her, and they're talking, and she's still not having it. She still doesn't want to talk to him at all. And she's just not really having it, like I said. And he's trying to get to know her, trying to figure out, and he says that he loves her and he wants to know more about her. And I would call this girl an ice queen. And if you don't know what an ice queen is, it's a term that me and my friends use to describe a woman who is very strong and independent and doesn't take guys as, you know, BS. And he's saying all these things to her, and for the most part it would be exactly what any girl would want to hear, but he surprisingly doesn't get through to her at all until they're walking and he surprises her and is like, "This is my apartment, we're here, let's go upstairs." And they start in the lobby and she's like, "I will only go upstairs if you pretty much takes off all your clothes and he goes into the street and pretty much tells this other couple that he loves this girl and he's butt naked, and she goes outside and talks to all of them, and it was pretty funny. But anyways, then he brings her upstairs, he takes her on the top of the roof, and then he offers her a drink and tries twice to kiss her, and the second time she got really fed up and decides to leave. And then she hurries down the stairs and he uses the elevator, and just in the nick of time, he catches her and while they get to the end, and then he ends up kissing her and they make out, and that's that. So that was the first half of the film. It was kind of very long, and that's pretty much what the first half of it was. So now it's in the morning, and this is the part where I'm going to spoil it for you. Like I said, I might spoil it because it was at the Mill Valley Film Festival, and I don't know if you will ever see it. But if you don't, here is what happened. So they obviously have done the dirty deeds, and the next morning, it's filmed completely differently. When it was at nighttime and they were at the party, it was filmed very dark. There was classical music playing in parts where tension builds up, and when they were walking, it was kind of like they were in San Francisco, in a city with the bright lights, but it was a dark atmosphere. There was a lot of nightlife. And when she wakes up the next morning, she wakes up by herself and in this room, in his bedroom, and all the walls are white and it's filmed super bright. It's almost overexposed in a way, but it's beautifully shot. And so she wakes up, she's kind of creeping around his room, digging in his drawers and around just looking at his walls and stuff, and she finds these pictures. A drawer she opens, there's full of pictures, and the guy is with this other girl. It seems like they are it's his girlfriend. And so then she goes out into the kitchen and he asks her if he can make her a cup of coffee or if she wants to shower or whatever she wants to do. And she's like, "Oh, okay, I'll shower. I'll have a cup of coffee." And so he hands her the cup of coffee and she's just kind of staring into nothing. She's kind of gazing into the distance and doesn't touch her coffee. I mean, it may be hot, but she's not touching it. She's not trying to take a sip or anything. And then he's kind of looking a little busy, and he says that he has a lot to do that day. He has errands to run. He has a lunch date, apparently. And at this point, she's just sitting there like a puppy dog walking around his house. And the whole thing was just super awkward because in the second half of this movie, there's no music playing at all. So it's super uncomfortable. And they actually start fighting because he's telling her, "I have stuff to do today. You need to leave." And she's not. She's just sitting there doing nothing. And she's starting up this big fight because she basically won't leave his apartment. And then she, you know, goes into the bathroom and she finally showers. And before she showers, she goes into the bathroom and she looks in the mirror at the sink for a second. And she's just staring at herself for a long while. And then she hits her forehead against the mirror on the wall, and some tension build up there. And then she took a shower, she comes out, he was on the roof, so she goes up to the roof with him. And since they were fighting before, now they're more calm, and she comes back on the rooftop, and he has her coffee that he made for her sitting there, and they're just kind of talking, like, he pretty much told her, you know, I canceled my plans today, it's okay, blah, 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 like, I really want to get to know you, all this stuff, what she wants to hear, basically. And she, this is where the ending comes, because he says, oh, your coffee's cold, I'll make you another cup. And she's like, okay, okay. So he goes down to his apartment. She's still on the roof. And, okay, this is the ending, so if you want to turn it off, you totally can. But she ends up sitting on the ledge of the roof. And she's sitting there for a little bit, and then she kind of just looks down, and she just, you know, jumps off the roof. And then he comes back up and was like, where is she? I don't know where she is. And he kind of goes where they both were standing and looks down at the ground and freaks out, and then goes downstairs to help her. And then that's when the movie ends. And it was very, very interesting. And so after we got out of the theater, I actually interviewed a couple who went to go see the movie. Their names are Carlos and Kayla Cabrales, and I asked them a few questions about the film, and so I thought I'd share this interview with you all to, you know, get someone else's perspective other than myself. So here we go.
Something might be wrong with her, or whatever. But that there's a moment.
So, where are you guys coming from today?
San Rafael.
Okay, so is this your first film that you've seen at the Mill Valley Film Festival?
It's our second. We actually saw The Empire Strikes Back with the kids.
How did you like that one?
The Empire Strikes Back? I loved it when I was 11, and I love it now.
Good, good. So, how was your experience seeing this movie? How did you think of it?
It was really moving.
Really? You thought so?
Yes.
Would you recommend it to your friends and family?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What was your favorite part about it?
I actually like the fact that, I don't know if this is the right word, she retaliated. I love the fact that she retaliated.
And how did you like the shooting of the film?
I thought the shooting was great. You can't help but, especially for the first half, compare it to, what's the Ethan Hawke movie?
Yeah,
the David Linkletter.
Before Sunrise.
You can't help that whole aspect. But obviously, he puts a grand twist on it because it ends quite differently.
Yeah.
But I thought the cinematography and the music was great.
How did you like the ending?
You know,
I was
just talking to him about that, and I asked him specifically, that was it very deliberate that he left her on sitting there for that long so that the audience could think which way was she going to go? And he said, yes, to the point where he wanted you to, most people were telling him that people were waiting for that. They knew it was going to end that way, especially when she bangs her head and something might be wrong with her or whatever. But that there's a moment there where you actually think, you know what? No, this is going to go full 360 and she's going to come back around and there might be a chance, you know? So it's a great use of time that he
For me,
he
the ending was breathtaking. It was, it took me a minute to catch my breath after I saw that.
Did the actors stand out to you? Did you his
career? Yeah, they were great.
Absolutely.
They were really good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for this interview. I really appreciate it.
No, no problem.
Thank you.
So I interviewed them because they were a couple that were really engaged in the Q&A portion of the movie. When the director came out and answered a few questions, they were very involved in that and stuck around to meet the director as well. But I really wanted to bring someone with me that was my age to get their opinion on the film, because this film, Stockholm, was pretty much focused on young adults and college students, and no one could come with me. So I'll tell you what I thought of it. So I thought the cinematography was incredible. I think the idea, the division between night and day was brilliant, and especially in the second half of the movie where she wakes up, it's the overexposure of the brightness plus the choice of not having music in the second half had an awkward and uncomfortable element, which made you feel like you were actually there and you were kind of watching it from another, just watching a person watching in. And the only thing I didn't really like was how repetitive certain parts were and how long they drag certain parts on. But I really think that this movie would be great for anyone to see, especially college kids, because I don't think it's really discussed about this topic is really discussed. And I think it should be, because it's something that people should be aware of. And obviously the main guy was using this girl, and I'm not by any means saying that if that this happens that a girl is going to jump off of a building. Not saying that at all. If you tell someone you love them one night and you don't mean it, leading on someone when you don't care about them at all, I think that's kind of, that's wrong. I think it's wrong, but I think it's 100% rude. I think it's rude if you truly don't feel that way. Don't say it just to get laid. I don't think that's right. And overall, I think it was an interesting film. I don't know how you would be able to see it, but if you ever came across it, I would definitely recommend seeing it. Please see it. It was so great. And like I said before, I am writing an article about this film for the Dominican Beat, which is the online newspaper for Dominican University. And in my article, I will include the Q&A section between the director, and he pretty much talks about the kinds of things that were portrayed in the movie that weren't really said, but he totally answers the questions. And you should check that out on thedominicanbeat.com. It will probably be out sometime this week, hopefully. So that was Movie Monday, and I hope you enjoyed it. Tune in next week, where I will decide to go see a movie and go see it, synoptize, and review it. So when we come back, I will start my segment, True or False, but we'll be right back after this short break.
Hey guys, Harley D here with your 3-minute break. 3 minutes of the wildest, weirdest, wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started.
Police in Troy, Michigan arrested a 49-year-old mother whom they say enlisted her daughter, a young boy, and a 61-year-old woman to help her shoplift clothing and other items from an Old Navy. A security camera footage showed the four entering the store shortly after 8 p.m. and then fanning out to different areas, where they proceeded to stuff various items into bags. Security guards were able to catch the 11-year-old girl and the 61-year-old woman, but the girl's mother and the young boy got away. According to the Detroit News, after the girl's mother failed to pick her up at the police station, officers called the woman at home. She initially denied being at the store in the first place, but then called an hour later and admitted that she lied about the incident because she was scared. Nevertheless, the woman still refused to turn herself in or pick up her daughter, who was finally retrieved by an aunt later that night. The woman is now wanted for retail fraud, child neglect, and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. The author of Washington's recreational marijuana law has suggested that Spokane test its sewage for traces of the cannabis chemical THC to get a more accurate picture of pot use by residents. American Civil Liberties Union lawyer Allison Holcomb proposed the idea at a Tuesday meeting of the City Council's Marijuana Policy Subcommittee. She got the idea from researchers at the University of Washington Alcohol and Drug Abuse Institute, where they have previously tested sewage in Oregon and Washington for the presence of illegal drugs like cocaine and methamphetamine. Holcomb said Tuesday that testing the sewage for THC provides a more accurate level of trends than self-reporting on surveys in which people are asked about their drug use. A Bay Area man has come up with a comfortable invention. A San Francisco financier, Jesse Herzog, has invented the so-called suitsie. It looks like a typical business suit worn over a white t-shirt, but hidden behind the button is a zipper that runs from the fly to the neck. The sleeves poking out from under the jacket cuffs are fake, and the shirt front is connected to the blazer. So, I was at work, and I was just thinking, you know, I need a way to look professional, but feel like I'm in my pajamas all the time. Seems reasonable, and it's also just a little bit more efficient. way to get ready in the morning, Herzog said. The suit is currently turning to crowdfunding through San Francisco clothing label Betta Brand.
And that has been it for your 3-minute break. I'm Harley D signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back to radio.dominican.edu. You are still listening to Hollywood Soup with Dizzy D. So now I'm going to move on to my next segment, True or False. I'm going to be sharing some facts. Some are true and some are false. So here we go. Was Halle Berry named after a department store? This is true. When Halle Berry was born, her name was Maria Halle Berry. Her parents chose her middle name after Halle Brothers Department Store, which was in Cleveland, Ohio. And at the age of 5 years old, she actually changed her name to Halle Maria Berry. So for my next question, did Daniel Radcliffe break over 10 wands while filming Harry Potter? This is false. Daniel Radcliffe actually wore out nearly 80 wands while playing Harry Potter throughout the years. Some interesting facts about these wands are that they are made on-site and no two wands are alike. Dumbledore's wand actually had a very elaborate design, unlike any other characters. And the wands were about 13 to 15 inches in length and always kept them that length so that the cast could grow into them when they got older. And Daniel Radcliffe also used close to 160 pairs of glasses while filming the movies. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Some fun facts about Harry Potter. But my next question is, does Jon Bon Jovi have one of the most expensive restaurants in the country? This is completely false. Jon Bon Jovi has a restaurant in Red Bank, New Jersey called Soul Kitchen, which is a nonprofit program ran by the Jon Bon Jovi Soul Foundation. And the menu actually has no prices, so you can select any item from the menu, whatever you like, and you basically make the minimum donation. And if you want to donate more, you can help pay for someone else's meal, or if you can't afford the minimum pay, you can volunteer for only 1 hour at the restaurant to pay for your meal. So the type of food that they serve is described as an American regional cuisine, and they serve it as a 3-course meal, and you start off with soup and salad, and then you can select meat, fish, or vegetarian dish, and then it is followed by dessert. So all of the ingredients they use are fresh and organic, while try to keep it local as much as possible. And the best part is that you can volunteer if you want to. So if you're ever in Red Bank, New Jersey, you should check it out, because I think that is a super cool thing, and I love it. So moving on to my next question. Are Sheryl Crow's front two teeth fake? This is true. Sheryl Crow actually lost her front two teeth twice. One time when she was 8 years old, and the other time was right before she rose to fame. And Sheryl Crow actually said, "I knocked them out twice. When I was 8, I ran into steel scaffolding and knocked them right out to the back of my mouth. But I saved them. And then the other time I was singing in a top 40 band in St. Louis, and a waitress knocked my teeth out with a beer mug, kind of by accident." So I thought that was pretty funny. But anyways, moving on to another famous singer. Was Madonna fired from Dunkin' Donuts? This is very true. Madonna dropped out of college and moved to New York, hopefully to start a career in the entertainment industry. She had a rocky start, and she had to earn some extra cash, so she started a job at Dunkin' Donuts in Times Square. And not even lasting a full day, she squirted a jelly-filled donut over the counter all over a customer, and her manager fired her for that. So that's pretty interesting. I mean, who would have thought that Madonna worked at Dunkin' Donuts? Now, moving on to my next question. Would Michael Jackson been in New York's World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001? This is actually true. According to his brother, Jermaine Jackson, Michael Jackson had scheduled meetings in the World Trade Center on the same day as the terrorist attack. Having overslept and being exhausted from a late night of his final concert the previous evening, Jermaine Jackson stated, "We were terrified when the towers fell as we knew Michael was due there. But Mom said that he was fine. He missed his meetings, which was great." So I had no idea that happened, and I mean, I'm glad it didn't, because maybe Michael Jackson would have died there. We don't know. But anyways, moving on to my next question. Did Lil Wayne have his first child when he was 18 years old? This is false. I was so surprised to hear this. Lil Wayne was actually 15 years old when he had his first child. That's so young. I can't believe that. His wife at the time, Raina, was his high school sweetheart. His first child is named Raina. I'm sorry. His high school sweetheart was named Antonia Carter, who got pregnant at the age of 14 years old, and they actually got married on Valentine's Day, and they were together for 2 years, and in 2006 they separated and got a divorce. And the reason they split was Antonia's inability to live the same lifestyle as Lil Wayne because of his career and keeping up with him, and him being away for long periods of time got a little hard. So I thought that was correct. I had no idea. But anyways, moving on to my next question. Did Jennifer Goodwin change the spelling of her name to be more original? This is true. Jennifer Goodwin changed her name from Jennifer to Jennifer to distinguish her name and legally changed it in 2011. She changed her name to reflect the way her name is pronounced in her hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. It's spelled G-I-N-N-I-F-E-R instead of J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R. And I thought every time I see this name, every time I see her name, I think of Jennifer, like a guinea pig, but I guess it's pronounced more like Jennifer instead of Jennifer. And I thought it was, I don't know, I always think of Jennifer like a guinea pig or something. But I guess not. Anyways, moving on to my next question. Was Demi Moore cross-eyed as a child? This is true. Demi Moore actually needed two surgeries to fix this condition, and she also suffered from kidney dysfunction, so she had multiple health problems when she was growing up, which I didn't know. I thought that was a little interesting. And now, for my last question, did Kerry Washington learn how to dance from Janet Jackson? This is false. Kerry Washington actually learned how to dance from Jennifer Lopez, and the two girls grew up together in the Bronx, and they both went to the local Boys and Girls Club together, and Kerry Washington actually stated, "You wouldn't know it from my build, but Jennifer taught me how to dance. And I remember when she left the Boys Club because she was leaving for New York to go to LA and try to make it big, and we were all like, oh my gosh." And Kerry Washington also looked up to Gwyneth Paltrow, and she actually joined the a cappella singing group because of her, and she ended up being the co-president, which is pretty cool. So those are all my true or false stories I have for this week. After this short break, I will be moving on to my third segment, Tunes Talk. So I am going to leave you with the song Love by Jenna Kramer. So stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
I still believe in fairy tales. I still believe in picking flowers. I still believe in getting lost in someone's eyes and talking for hours. I still believe in shooting stars. I still believe in midnight drives and butterflies you get right before you kiss for the very first time. Love, how many times can a heart break? take is walking down the aisle. That's what you do, love. Yeah, that's what you do, love. Love, how many times can a heart break?
Welcome back to Hollywood Soup on radio.dominican.edu. This is Izzy D, and now I am going to jump into my third segment, Tunes Talk. You just heard the song Love by Jana Kramer, and this song is pretty much my new obsession, and I first heard it because Jana Kramer was on the later seasons of One Tree Hill, and you know that One Tree Hill is it's honestly one of my all-time favorite shows. And I've mentioned it quite a few times, but she was on the later seasons of One Tree Hill, so I obviously follow her on everything. So on Twitter and Instagram, she posts stuff about her new single. So I decided to listen to it, and I think the song is great, and I've never played a country song on the radio before while doing my show, so I thought it would be a perfect opportunity to, because it's my new obsession. But anyways, Jana Kramer started her country music career in 2012, launching her first single, Why You Wanna, from her first self-titled album, and she's been acting for about 10 years before she started her music career, and like I said, she played the role of Alex, who was a famous actress and in the show One Tree Hill, and then she became introduced to the music career, so I thought that was kind of funny that she's now a country star in real life. But she has won an Academy of Country Music Award in 2013 for the Top New Female Artist Award, and also in 2013 she opened for Blake Shelton on his tour, so that was pretty cool. And going into the song, I think she has an amazing voice, and the message of this song I think is beautiful. Not to be corny or anything, because this song, okay, it is kind of corny, I admit that, but I think it's beautiful, and I wanted to pull out a couple lyrics from the song and talk about them. So from the chorus, the words are, love, how many times can a heart break? Love, how much weight can a soul take? Love, I don't know where you ran off to, but love, 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 I still believe in you. And I just love how this song is so optimistic, because I think it's just kind of showing what kind of person she is and the way she presents herself, because this song is obviously about relationships, and when times are hard and breakups happen, instead of dwelling on it, just believe that one day you'll be happy and something great will come out of it, and it was just not meant to be for some strange reason. But I just love that message that it brings, and because that's way better than just being depressed and acting negatively towards you or others around you, and that's just not going anywhere. So it's better to be optimistic about these things. And I think I've seen interviews of her talking about the song, and I think it's great. And another lyric from the song that actually is in the bridge: you give me something I can hold, you pull me through, because that's what you do, that's what you do, love. And what I think she's saying in this lyric is pretty self-explanatory. Love gives you hope, and even if you are single and you're doing your own thing, that's okay. Even Jana quoted, "For me right now, I'm just happy being me and doing my own thing. I'm just focused on spreading the love." And I think that's great. She also said, "We've all been through some heartbreaks, but for me, I still believe in love. I think love is about giving back and loving everyone around you, even if it's just a simple wave or a smile." And I think those are some amazing words and great advice to give to anyone. So going into the music video for Love, it was filmed in Honduras, and it was in support of her charity, Hearts to Honduras, and a portion of her charity efforts help bring English tutors to Honduras to help orphans learn the language. And they also build homes for people who don't have a shelter. And the music video is just beautifully filmed, I think. And it's not what you would expect for a music video for this song. It wasn't what I expected, at least. I would picture a music video when a guy and a girl fall in love in the country, and maybe a young girl, or I don't know, maybe another scenario would be a girl getting over a breakup and sobbing in her bedroom, and then she realizes one day that everything's gonna be okay, and then everything's good and she's happy and stuff like that. But that's not what happened. So in the beginning of the music video, you'll see Jenna Kramer walking around various places in Honduras, just walking down the street or by some shops or by some houses. And when she was in front of a store looking in the window, a little girl came up and she tugged on the back of her shirt. And this little girl brings her into this flower shop. And then after that moment in the music video, the song really revolves around these kids. And it's really adorable. It's really cute. I don't think she is trying to get the general assumption of love across in this video. I think that the love between families and friends is what she's really trying to show in this music video. And I thought it was really cool, especially at the end of the music video. There was probably like 10 kids, and they were just all around Jenna. And they sang the chorus of the song together without any music, without autotune or anything. And it was just so raw and real. And some of the kids weren't really paying attention, and it was just so honest, and I thought it was just really cool to see something like that. And I thought she looked amazing in the music video, no doubt. She is gorgeous. I mean, she probably looks good in anything, but she's just so naturally pretty. It's ridiculous. And the moment that really stood out to me was when she was walking down this dirt path by herself, and there were some houses on the side you could see, and she was just in blue jeans and a black tank top, and her hair was parted down the middle and was slightly waved. But her makeup, I loved it. She barely had anything on her eyes. Her face was bronzed, and she looked like she was glowing, and she had just amazing color on her lips. It was a reddish pink colored lipstick, and it just looked amazing. But she's just beautiful, and I think the song has an amazing message to it, and it brings, I don't know, she has this charity that she's supporting, and I think that more people should be listening to this song. I don't know anybody who has heard the song. I hope maybe one of you have, but I have been listening to the song on repeat, and it should be on the radio on repeat, because there's some songs, I'm very tired right now, because there's some songs on the radio that are so overplayed that I can't listen to the radio anymore. I can't, because I just get annoyed because I hear the same songs on every station, and it gives me a headache. But anyways, that was my segment, Tunes Talk, and when we come back, I will go into my last segment, The Dirty Deets. But we will be right back after this message on radio.dominican.edu.
This is DJ Bosco with another Bosco break. If you like shopping online, you'll be used to the endless stream of disappointing deals and sales pushed in front of you by retailers every day. They just never quite turn out to be the bargains they claim to be. Very few outlets offer extremely low prices on premium products, and even few make the experience of purchasing them fun and entertaining. But there are still some amazingly good deals to find out there that'll save you heaps of money. But they only exist on a handful of websites. One such retailer is a new online auction website called Quibids, who have worked out a way to sell you must-have products at prices that are so low you won't believe your eyes. Their product range is extensive and includes some of the most sought-after consumer items available. Examples are Apple devices, iPads, iPhones, and MacBooks, to HD televisions, Nikon cameras, and even jewelry and gift cards to premium retailers. To understand how this works, you first need to know what an entertainment auction is. This auction model is different to traditional online auction formats such as eBay. Every time a bid is placed, a charge of a few cents is made to their customers. Added up, these small individual charges amount to quite a lot. This enables them to sell an item that costs hundreds or even thousands of dollars for no more than 30 or 40 bucks. Simply put, the retail prices they charge are by far the lowest available online. Every time a customer bids, the auction is extended by no more than 20 seconds, and the last person who placed a bid when the clock time reaches zero receives the right to purchase the item at the discounted price. While you get a big buzz from winning an auction, strategizing over when to bid and how many bids to place is also huge fun. CEO Matt Beckman said that they are growing incredibly fast and that their numbers of customers now reaches into the millions. This is a new type of shopping that appeals to a mass audience. Consumers expect more when they shop these days, and Quibids offers that, he said. For an auction winner, the true cost of the item purchased is slightly higher than the final price the auction ended with, because the auction winner would have spent a few dollars bidding several times in the auction. Typically, this amount is fairly modest, so when both elements are added up, customers on average save around 75 to 85% of cost. For those who participate in any auction and don't win, they're able to use a buy now feature to purchase the product at a discounted rate, which is the listed price minus the value of the bids they have placed. This basically means the auctions are a no-loss proposition, which is pretty amazing. So if you're looking to save up to 90% on items such as brand new iPads for $32, a Samsung HD TV for $37, or a Canon Rebel T3i camera bundle for $27, check out Quibids today. That's the end of your Bosco break. Back to the show.
You are still listening to Hollywood Soup on Penguin Radio. This is Dizzy D, and for my last segment for the day is The Dirty Deeds. The Dirty Deeds is your source of entertainment gossip from all over Hollywood. So let's get started. Paula Patton filed for divorce from Robin Thicke Wednesday after 9 years of marriage because of irreconcilable differences. Meeting when they were only 14 years old, Patton asked for joint custody of their son Julian, who is 4 years old. The couple has been separated for 8 months, but Thicke has attempted numerous times to get Patton back, including writing a whole album for her. It has been rumored that he has been unfaithful and admitted to drug and alcohol abuse, but now the couple is really over. And I don't know how I feel about this. I'm not really a big Robin Thicke fan, so all power to Paula Patton. All right, anyways, moving on. I don't know if you've heard about this story, but it is blowing up. On Tuesday, Seventh Heaven star Stephen Collins confessed to molesting young girls in a tape. He is being investigated by authorities, and Stephen Collins and Faye Grant, who have been Faye Grant, his wife, learned for the first time that Stephen has been engaging in a long-term pattern of sexually molesting children, and Stephen Collins will no longer be casted in Ted 2, and he has also been cut from an upcoming episode of Scandal. And now the question is concerning if Seventh Heaven is going to be remaining on television. But Charlie Humbert, UP TV president and CEO, stated last Tuesday, as a top family-friendly program, We Network, we are deeply concerned for the families that are potentially affected by these disturbing allegations surrounding actor Stephen Collins. He also said that Seventh Heaven has been a beloved family show and a fan favorite on our network, and we have made the decision to remove the series from our schedule effective at 5 p.m. Eastern Time today, which was on Tuesday. Replacing Seventh Heaven would be Super Nanny, a series dedicated to bringing families together. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He is getting beaten for this, but I think that's good. Anyways, according to Billboard, Katy Perry will take the stage for Super Bowl 49. Rihanna and Coldplay were also considered to perform during the halftime show, which will be held on February 1st, 2015. While informing these artists they were interested, the NFL asked them to contribute a portion of their post-Super Bowl tour income to the league, or if they could make some other type of financial contribution in exchange for the halftime gig. And Katy Perry appeared on ESPN's College Game Day, and she stated, "I am not the kind of girl who would pay to play the Super Bowl." Aside the whole NFL asking for money thing, I don't think that anyone could top Beyoncé's performance at the Super Bowl. I don't think they can. I don't think Katy Perry could do it. I mean, she has so much energy and so much crazy things that happen on her shows and stuff, but I think Beyoncé's show was amazing. I think it was 2 years ago when Destiny's Child came on stage. That was the moment I fell in love with Beyoncé, because she just knows how to dance and she can sing and she just does it all. She's a superstar, so I don't think anyone could top her. But anyways, moving on, I don't think things are looking too good for Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon, because I've heard that about their separation rumors. But last week, Nick Cannon showed off his back tattoo that originally was a tribute to his wife Mariah, and it was just Mariah tattooed on his back shoulders. And now he covered this whole tattoo with a large crucifixion tattoo that just covers up where Mariah's name was. So I don't know if you've seen a picture of it, if you just type in Nick Cannon's back tattoo or Mariah tattoo, I don't know. But now it's just this big whole thing. I don't know. But moving on Friday afternoon, Amanda Bynes checked into Las Encinas Hospital in Pasadena, California, to register in a rehabilitation program. This sounds like it was coming from the sexual abuse accusations towards her father that she made. She posted some tweets about it. I don't know if you've seen them, but I'll read you what she wrote. "My dad was verbally and physically abusive to me as a child. He called me ugly as a child and then asked me if I wanted to have sex with him, and I didn't know how to respond, and I said no, and then I was forced to live with my dad, which was a total nightmare." Then she also stated that she was getting a restraining order against her dad that same day, and after all this happened, Amanda Bynes' mother released a statement on the behalf of her husband, Rick, and she said, Rick has been the best father and husband a family could ask for. He has never abused Amanda or our other children physically or sexually. These accusations are absolutely horrible and could not be further from the truth. These allegations stem from Amanda's mental state at the moment. They have no basis in reality. It saddens me beyond belief that my husband's character could be slandered in such a way. And then, after that statement was released, Amanda posted something else, and she said, this is so crazy, "My dad never did any of those things. The microchip in my brain made me say those things, but he's the one that ordered them to microchip me." I think there's something wrong with Amanda Bynes. She used to be so nice and innocent in the Amanda show. Remember? Amanda show. I love that show. And then she was on, like, she was in She's the Man. She was in What I Like About You. She was in Easy A, all those shows. And now she's just piercing her cheeks and acting crazy. So it makes me sad. But I don't know. I don't know why she would say things about her father that aren't true like that. I don't know. It's weird to me. But anyways, on to my last story of the day. I don't know if you've heard about this, but I've told you before that I am obsessed with the show Dance Moms, and it just ended, and I just want to be those kids. I probably have talked about this show every week since I've started my radio show, but Dance Moms is such a great show. But anyways, this weekend, Abby Lee Miller, who is the owner and dance teacher of the studio which Dance Moms is about, she actually was sued for assault by a former dance student. And the student that is suing her is named Paige Hyland. And she was on the show for like 3 seasons. And there's so much conflict between Abby Lee Miller and her mom. What's her name? Kelly Hyland. And so there was so much tension and drama between the two of them. And Kelly said that she doesn't want her kids going there anymore to dance. And then they came back and then they had another fight. And then Abby pretty much forced them to leave, I think. I think that's how it went down. I don't know. These things on TV never really happen in real life. So I don't know what for sure happened. I don't think anyone does. But anyways, the girl who is suing Abby is Kelly's 13-year-old daughter who was on the show. And in the complaint that was filed, it is alleged that Abby Lee Miller intentionally engaged in conduct that caused the plaintiff, Paige Hyland, to reasonably believe that she was about to be touched or harmed in an offensive manner. And it also was stated that Paige suffered panic attacks and anxiety and all these things. And I don't know how I feel about this, because If you've seen the show, Dance Moms, Abby obviously doesn't handle every situation in the best way. She's sometimes very, very hard on the kids and yells at them and tells them they're doing things wrong when they're obviously amazing dancers. And I don't know why she would be so mean to them. I want to be them. And they're like 10 years old and I'm 20 and I want to be them because they are so talented dancers. And she just sometimes treats them poorly and favors kids she thinks are better than other kids. And anyways, I don't really know how I feel about it, but I will leave you with that. So that was the end of the Dirty Deets, and I hope you all enjoyed this week's show. Tune in next Monday to hear who will be going deep in the boiling water on Hollywood Soup at 3 with Dizzy D on Penguin Radio. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter at DizzyD_DU for updates. And I hope you guys have a good rest of your week. Hope you have a happy Monday. And thank you for listening.
One, two.